They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our minds by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ Jesus, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. We're distinctly honored this morning to have with us an old and ever-present friend, Dr. M. Ray McKay, one of the first professors in this school, serving here as professor of preaching 1952-1964. Dr. McKay was born in Missouri, educated in Illinois and Kentucky, receiving his doctor's degree from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He served churches both in the American Baptist and the Southern Baptist conventions. He was a world traveler, preaching on missions to Japan. He's been a missionary since retirement in the Bahamas. He's known across the Southern Baptist Convention as an outstanding preacher, a happy Christian. He came to this seminary from a church in Little Rock, and it's been a tremendous blessing to us and to the state of North Carolina. He has served as interim pastor of many of our finest churches and has rendered immeasurable service. He and Mrs. McKay, whom we're happy to welcome to our service this morning, have gone here and there spreading the good news of the gospel of God with deep sincerity, a happy good humor, and genuine ability. It is a privilege this morning to have Dr. McKay here to preach for us and to continue in the leadership of the worship of God.
Dr. John Wayland is a friend of mine. Whether or not his veracity is dependable has nothing to do with the friendship. I have just come from sessions of the North Carolina Baptist State Convention, where Southeastern Seminary men were very much more in evidence than they had been before. It's rather interesting to me that some of the earlier men are a little bit older than they used to be, and many of them are highly respected and doing excellent work in many places. I was delighted to attend the seminary luncheon on Tuesday. Everything about it was delightful, as anybody has learned to expect if Dr. James Blackmore and Betty Weathers have the oversight of it. It's going to be just like that. But the welcome we received from one of my former students and one of your schoolmates, the pastor of the First Church in Fayetteville, Glenn Holt, was a great joy to all of us. Among long-faced preachers, and there are a good many of them wandering around the halls of the convention, getting fairly fat, and long and solemn face, and stoop-shouldered. except Glenn Holt and a few others like you, I hope, who can stand up like men and say, I'm very much excited about the work of the pastorate. I take it a high privilege to seek to minister to the needs of my people in times like these, and more in that speech, but it was a good one. The whole thing was very good. If Howard Knight's back from down there, I would say something good about his missionary address, but I don't see him so far, so I'll let him speak for himself on that, but it was good, however. Now this morning, I come particularly because I am interested in preaching, but I am very much more interested in preachers. Preachers today operate in such a tremendous opportunity responsibility complex that their task can't be matched by any other calling that I know about. Some of you will remember that the Chinese character for crisis is often translated dangerous opportunity. Well, that same character fits the description of the preacher's task today. It is dangerous opportunity. There is so much that needs to be said in every area of life. The problems and issues and pressures of life are so complex that how is the preacher to get the things said that ought to be said so that his people will find needed guidance from the pulpit and in private counseling? The new council on Christianity and world issues, which gave its first report at the convention in Fayetteville this year, points out our names among the problems that are current, the nature of the Christian life, race relationships, war and peace, religious liberty, public education, communication in family and church. I wondered why they didn't add school. Alcohol, drugs, pornography, gambling. And then if you and I were allowed to add a few, we might talk about moral standards and practices, pretenses for honesty, expediency for integrity, orders of service and high-pressure programs for reality in religion, the attainment and practice of freedom, the loads that other people carry, the temptations that threaten the preacher and the people to whom he ministers. Now, if you're going to be a timid, selfish preacher, you better just omit a good many of these vital issues and therefore starve your people into mediocrity and let the world slide blissfully on to hell. Or if you are a rambunctious protester, you may very well speak out and vent your spleen on controversial issues and then feel like a hero because you started a fight. Now, if you should be a popularity seeker and want to gain the attention of a great many people, and here my speech is half spoiled by Dr. Binkley, because I heard him say once upon a time that criticism is a very sharp instrument which should be used very rarely and very carefully. And therefore, I can't quite say that if that's the kind of a person you are, you ought to write such and such a book, but I can say that I personally, for instance, am greatly disturbed that a leader of the convention would gain the ear of a great part of the followership of the convention by telling preachers, you ought to preach the Bible literally, just as it is, because you know, if you're thoughtful, that if you're going to do that, you're going to give a lie to a good deal of the biblical truth. For instance, one of everybody's favorite passages is, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not fear. I shall live with him always. And now, if you think about that, it'll bring strength to you and your people a long time. But wait a minute. That's not a literal interpretation of that psalm. If you interpret it literally, it says the Lord was once upon a time, or still is, a little man guiding obstreperous sheep over the wilderness country of Judea. And God never was a little man running sheep like that. Now you'll find that all the way through. So much of the great truth must be interpreted as it was written under divine guidance in lovely figures that bring the truth meaningfully to us. Well, all I was trying to say is that it is very much easier to be a darn fool than it is to be a preacher. And if you aren't careful, you will offer further proof to the thing I'm trying to say. Because when we are to determine with what topics we deal and to avoid neglecting the needs of the people, then we shall need a good deal of discipline, thought, and spirit. That's the reason, really, that we rejoice in having Dr. Leo Green on the faculty and in the pulpits of this territory. For it remains true that even though a man can't preach a lick, if he can open the treasures of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos and Hosea, he's done us marvelous service. Now don't get scared and think that there's anything one-sided about this, because the other side's already been taken care of. We need also to have Dr. Don Cook, who, by the way, in his student days, long time ago, was a pretty good preacher. We need somebody to guide us. We need somebody to guide us into the richness of the meaning of the New Testament for this and every day. We also need wise and capable guidance in theology and philosophy, so that we can understand something of the relationships of truth. We also need to give careful attention to skills in preaching and in religious education, that we may sharpen our abilities to get the jobs done that need to be done. There's a great deal necessary to the business of being a worthy preacher. But because the tasks are so many, so multiplied, if one is to succeed, he must establish priorities. Otherwise, he'll bog down. He must establish priorities for time and energy and attention. And I would suggest that the very best place to begin is to name the first two as they're given in Scripture. And remember that the first priority in every preacher's life is seek first the rulership of God in all the areas and responsibilities of life. first God's rulership. All the areas and responsibilities of life. Because God is the first fact in every man's life situation. The first and most important fact in every man's life situation is God. When I was a boy, about 12 years old, I should suppose, I rode with my father, as I often did, on horseback to his preaching appointment for Saturday afternoon. By and by, we came to the bank of the Little Merrimack, which this spring morning was not Little Merrimack at all. Thawing snow and recent rains had made that little river a muddy torrent. We stopped, got off the horses and crossed the stirrups over, and got over by a stump and got up on top of that. I remember kneeling on top of those cross stirrups, holding strongly to the horn with one hand and the reins with the other, and starting to follow my father on his horse across the muddy stream. The water came up and up to the saddle skirts, a foot away from your knees, and suddenly the rushing water changed direction. And everything began to go upstream. And as you recognize, my head was swimming. My father, glancing back, must have understood the situation, because he called, "Keep your eyes on the big oak on the bank, and you'll make it all right." And I did, and here I am, well and dry. But that's good advice always. God is the one dependable fact in life. Keep your eyes upon Him. You'll make it all right. Now, in order to get this accomplished, actually it takes a heap of doing. It means surrender and discipline and service. Or, if you'd rather have a scriptural formula for seeking the rulership of God in life as number one thing, then remember the words of Jesus. If anybody will be a worthy preacher of mine, let him say no to himself and yes to the Lord. Let him accept the implications and the meaning of the cross, grab hold of a handle where he can lift, and keep on following me. Now, the tenses must not be forgotten. The first two are point action. No to yourself today and yes to the Lord. But old self will pop up again sometime down there and you'll have to do it again. It'll be deed here, and deed here, and deed here. And when you have understood the cross and try to accept its sacrifice on your behalf as also the principle of your living, selfishness will creep in and you'll have to remember to grab hold somewhere and carry loads that don't belong to you and help to solve problems that are not your problems at all. Point actions. But the third one is a linear. The whole continuing intent of life is to follow Christ. And then the second priority, seek goodness like God's. That's what he said. Seek goodness like God's. First, let him rule. Second, seek character like his character. Now, Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them by thy truth." He said, "For their sakes I sanctify myself." Now, sanctify them by thy truth. And the word means set them apart from evil, dedicate them to good, and in the processes of life, let them gradually and increasingly become more like God. That's the second task. Turning away from evil, turning to the things that ought to be done, and not worrying about whether you're so good or bad, because the goodness unconsciously takes care of itself in that case. But when you have done those two things, there's a whole mass of material and responsibilities and calls that multiply. And so there has to be a way of organizing that. Now, Bernard Clausen a few years ago called his book Slaves to a Desk Pad. He just meant put them down, take them in order. Well, that's one way of saying it, slaves to a desk pad, take the things in order. Now, I once upon a time was associate pastor in St. Louis, where Mr. Bush, the president of the Brown Shoe Company, was the Sunday school superintendent. Mr. Bush had as his motto, God first, family second, shoes third. You once set up something like that. Following him, maybe, God first, family second, church, classes, the responsibilities coming on down. And none of them neglected because they have been remembered and allocated a little part of your time. If you're ever going to do any good with study, you study every day on the thing that's supposed to be done and don't let the stuff pile up and then try to high pressure it through. It sounds like preaching from an old professor, but honest to goodness, that's one thing I did practice 100 years or a little less ago. It's much easier to make A's and B's than it is D's and C's. Because when you get there down there in that D section, I'm telling you, it works you to death to be sure it's a D and not an F. That's a crazy trouble. But if day by day you're doing the thing it ought to be done, then the rest of it you're not really scared about so much, because there's no difference in the A and a B anyhow, except the mood of the professor at the moment. I mean, I graded as well as anybody else did in this school, but I never did pretend to grade correctly. For instance, one of the professors here that I can't recognize. Probably didn't hear his reason, I don't recognize him. But anyhow, he was always mad in my classes because he got a B. He ought to have had an A, he said. I was always mad because I had to sit and listen to his B preaching. So we were both sort of mad. But here he is in the seminary just the same, you see. So I could have been mistaken. But I doubt it. But the whole intent of our job is to give ourselves to the task as intelligently and persistently as we know how. Seek first God's kingdom, God's character. And I think you can organize the rest of it in a way that'll let you get alongward. Our Father, we do thank Thee for Thy guidance in so many ways, for all the way the Lord our God hath blessed us. And now we would pray together for the present and the future. May every student in this group be given strength and leadership and wisdom, resources that match the demands of life. Bless the faculty, we pray Thee, with dedication and scholarship and humanity and good humor. And then not for ourselves primarily even, but for loved ones in other places. For needy people the world around. For the spread of Thy so great salvation into all the areas of human life, we pray. The leader. and let thy blessing be upon these thy followers. In Jesus' name, amen.